NBC's coast-to-coast network of independent affiliated stations, the University of Chicago Roundtable. Today, from the Festival of Contemporary Arts on the campus of the University of Illinois, the Roundtable presents a special discussion on Does the Artist Have a Responsibility to Communicate to the Public? Taking part in today's program are Lester Bridaham, artist and secretary of the Art Institute of Chicago, H. Harvard Arneson, chairman of the Department of Art, University of Minnesota, D. W. Gottschalk, philosopher of the University of Illinois, and Harold Hayden, artist of the University of Chicago. And now to open today's roundtable, we present Mr. Hayden.
Well, gentlemen, today we propose to discuss the problem of understanding modern art. When the question of modern art is raised, some people say, who cares? Other people answer, I don't know anything about art, but I know what I like, and these modern artists don't give it to me. Other people say, you shouldn't expect to understand modern art without studying it, any more than you expect to understand how the hydrogen bomb works. Some others say, this modern art isn't art at all. But I remember Picasso answered that once. He said, I do not read English. A book in English thus has no meaning for me, but I do not say the English language therefore does not exist. Well, what about it? Does contemporary art lack meaning? Apparently it fails to communicate meaning to many people, and I wonder why. Who is responsible? Is it the artist? For whom does he paint? Does he paint simply for himself, as some people say? Does he actually paint for everybody? Do people get the kind of art they deserve, as the architect Louis Sullivan said about 50 years ago? Are the people then maybe responsible if the artist fails to communicate to them? Let's begin our discussion today by turning to this problem of communication between the artist and his public. Arneson, what do you mean when you use the word communicate?
Well, Hayden, I think that I can answer that, first of all, in terms of a very old and familiar story told about the artist Matisse. The story is that a lady was looking at a portrait on the wall of Matisse's studio and objected to it, saying that this portrait did not look like a woman, whereat Matisse answered that the portrait was not a woman, it was a painting. It seems to me, in this question of communication, that the first thing we have to do is to define some terms. Generally, when we talk about communication, we tend to think of the communication of the subject matter that the artist is using.
Now, for instance, what do you mean by subject matter?
Well, that's fairly obvious, I think. The artist, normally throughout history, has taken a point of departure from nature. He has started with a landscape or with a religious subject. For instance, if an artist paints the crucifixion, we could speak of the crucifixion of Christ as a subject. However, the painting also contains, if it is a work of art, things beyond the subject matter. These are known to anyone who's ever studied the field. The painting contains an idea, a content, if you will, and it also contains an organization, a form. In practice, you can't separate these things, but we can verbally, just for the purposes of our discussion.
And then how do the abstract paintings come in on this, Arneson?
Well, in an abstract painting, obviously the content and the form are identical.
That doesn't mean the form of, say, a woman in the picture, though, does it?
No, the form, the organization of the picture plane. We have to realize a painting is, first of all, a two-dimensional surface to which the artist has applied certain pigments. You've got to start with an understanding of the physical nature of the painting.
Could you say, Arneson, then, that art is transforming natural elements rather than imitating them, transforming them in terms of something in the artist, some need, some feeling or urge or vision that is in him? And if that were so, then perhaps we could say the communication is transferring this common element that he embeds in there from the artist to the public. Now, that common element, I think, does not need to be a political or religious element. It might be the purely aesthetic. There's this interaction between the subject matter, content, and form that you mentioned. What do you think of that, Breithand?
Well, Gottschalk, I feel pretty strongly about that point there, because I think we tend in our age to have a little too much verbalizing about a work of art. As an artist myself, I feel we've got to get back to the actual object. There tend to be some writers today who want to compete in words with the artist's picture and paint a word picture based on what they've seen. And I think we've got to watch that verbalizing a good bit.
Well, I think a communication in another sense, or maybe the same sense, that art is a language. It's often been said this way, a universal language. I remember once I was stuck in the mud of the car near a small Mexican village, and I went in to get a tow truck, but I wasn't good enough in the language, and no one could understand it. I had a somewhat imaginative friend, but all he could do was stick his foot in the mud puddle and try pulling it out, and or at least pretend it was hard to pull out, and that didn't work at all. And finally, I drew a little picture of an automobile in the mud and the tow truck pulling it out, and that worked. Now, when I paint a picture, I don't stop and ask myself this, what am I going to communicate today? That would be a peculiar thing to ask, no doubt. I just go ahead quite certain that if I'm painting and if I'm sincere and if I'm in earnest, I'll express some part of myself and some part of my time so that sensitive people, wherever they are, will be able to understand some part of what I've said for as long as that old painting lasts. I'm thinking every brushstroke, every color, every line carries meaning for people who can see.
Well, that's related also to Picasso's Guernica, too.
Well, now, you mentioned Guernica. I had a peculiar experience in an exhibit at the Art Institute when a number of the sketches for the Guernica were on display, and I saw a couple of people looking at the head of that screaming horse that you can see. Look at the reproduction of the painting. And they were laughing, and I knew they should have been weeping. Now, something was wrong there. They weren't something wasn't communicating. I just wonder what it was.
Well, I think there's no question that the artist, throughout all of history, has always wanted to communicate. I mean, his primary job, of course, is a job of expression. The expression of some idea which is of importance to him and which is a reflection of his particular environment, his personality, and all the rest of that. But he does want that idea understood. At the same time, we do have this simple fact, as anyone who goes into an exhibit of contemporary art can tell you, we have the simple fact that paintings today do not seem to provide that immediate impact in the normal terms of which we think of communication that paintings of the Renaissance did. What do you think about that, Gottschalk?
Perhaps innocent people today come to these paintings with the wrong expectations. Perhaps they're looking for something that isn't there, and that modern art is really much simpler than people think it is. They're looking for something deep, whereas it is working with these materials into some kind of immediate effect upon them.
Well, Sheldon, you think they're afraid of it, maybe, the concept they see before them, something like that?
I think in general simplicity is very puzzling and very bewildering, particularly when you come to simplicity with the expectation of complexity. Mm-hmm. And perhaps a good deal of the stunned effect of people from modern art is the fact that it really gives you something simple.
But on the other hand, Gottschalk, a lot of people look at some of this abstract stuff and they say, well, that's just wallpaper. There's no place where it begins or ends. It could go on forever. There's nothing. It's too simple. What's all this about simplicity? Is that?
Well, the simplicity perhaps is has its depths of subtlety as well. I think that in the analysis of our modern painting, as you get into particularly the formal type, you find all sorts of subtle relations of line and color there, in addition to a kind of overall simplified
pattern. Yes, but do they have
pattern.
Any meaning? Do they mean anything? Or are they just there to be seen? I wonder what's communicated by those subtle patterns of line and form.
Well, I think they have a meaning, yes. I don't know whether we can go into too specific an analysis of specific works of contemporary art. I'd like to say, Hayden, that in general, I agree with Gottschalk's point of view concerning this question of simplicity and complexity. One thing that I've always felt is that most people who contend that they understand a Renaissance work of art just don't know what they're talking about. To me, Michelangelo's Sistine Ceiling is an infinitely more complicated work of art, more difficult to understand than almost any contemporary painting that I know about.
Just how do you mean that, Arneson?
Well, I mean that it involves a good number of experiences that we don't have anymore. It involves an environment which we have lost. It involves social, political, religious ideas which were common vocabulary at that time, but which have been forgotten.
However, and Arneson also involves local ideas, anecdotes somewhat too, probably.
Well, of course it does. Of course it does.
I think this notion, Hayden, that modern artists don't want to communicate is not exactly accurate. At least those I know are very eager to explain to an appreciative person all the details of their work. And if a person really grasps what they are saying, he's very gratified, which would seem to mean that he's delighted with it.
Gottschalk, I disagree there a little bit, because there are some of the rather vocal avant-garde painters who, when I asked a group of them one time how they felt about that, they say, we don't care about the public. We're not painting for the public.
But, on the other hand, when the public does care about them, what then?
Well, that... That make a difference.
On the other hand, when those fellows say they don't care and their paintings aren't supposed to communicate anything, aren't they explaining their paintings?
Well, that's a...
I think a good part of the problem of communication in contemporary art has to be traced to the whole pattern of patronage. And I'd like to say a few words about that, if I
art, and that goes back pretty far, I imagine, doesn't it?
Well, yes, it does go back pretty far. It goes back to the beginning of organized history, but I won't run through the whole business right now. I'd like to make the general point that artists always have communicated in terms of symbols that were fairly generally understood, as long as they had some pattern of patronage within an organized society. That is to say, this applies to the artists who worked in Egypt, in Greece, in Rome, in throughout Europe, in the Middle Ages, in the Renaissance.
Arneson, do you mean that the patron dominated somewhat what they did, or from that point of view?
Well, I mean that the patron's point of view became a part of the work of art in that kind of a society where there was a natural relationship between the artist and the patron. I'd like to say that the creative process, the process of painting a picture, as we all recognize, is largely intuitive, somewhat irrational. A picture grows like a musical composition by trial and error. And into this creation, as we all know, there goes the entire personality and experience and social environment of the artist.
Everything he's learned and lived through.
Everything he's learned and lived through. And that's true today, just as it was in the Renaissance. Yeah. Thus, if a class of patrons with defined ideas of likes and dislikes is part of the society that the artist inhabits, this fact will become part of and a condition of the picture.
Well, that sounds pretty good, but nevertheless, if he is painting for this public, this group of people who ask him to do it, does he have to know that they're asking for it? Does he have to know what's popular art or what's demanded of his by a society? This sounds pretty dictatorial if the society is going to tell the artist one way or another just what to do.
Now, he knows it. He knows it partially consciously and partially subconsciously. That is to say, it's just part of the total social pattern that within which he exists. The fact that certain types of pictures are needed by that society.
Would you say, Arneson, that the onus of communication is with the society, where you have a certain kind of society such as you were speaking of? Communication is easy. Where you don't have that, as we as today, communication tends to fail. And that the real onus and burden of the thing is with the society.
I would say so, yes. Gottschalk, I think that we can illustrate this historically again. We have